Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
We're going to start off and we're going to dive into the Word of God this morning, starting in Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 12. For those of you who have their smartphones, if they're already on, that's fantastic. Or those of you who brought your actual Bibles, as you can see, they'll also be on the slides on the side for you to be able to read along. But let's go ahead and read. We're going to read all the way up to verse 20. I love the Word of God, and it's so powerful, it's so impactful, and I'm excited to be able to share it with you today. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They were regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. The title of my message this morning is God is Bigger Than. Okay? I leave the rest blank for you to be able to fill in for what you need to be able to fill it in for. Right? As you can see, all through Isaiah chapter 40, it talks about how big God is. Right? My favorite part in that whole thing is how he's able to just measure the waters with the breadth of his hand. Okay, I'm lucky if I can measure a full glass of water with the breadth of my hand, okay, right? But yet he can measure all the waters in this entire world, in this entire universe, with his own hand. He is a big God, and he is bigger than anything that we can ever imagine, and yet he loves us. Yet he cares for us. Yet he is always there for us, and he is everything that we need. So whether it be fear, whether it be worry, whether it be death, whatever it might be that freezes you up, that makes you not want to move anymore, that scares you, that makes it hard to be able to sleep at night, God is there. And he is bigger than any problem you may have, anything that you may have gone through, anything you might be going through, God is bigger than. Why? Because he is. He just is. He always is and he always will be. Right? He's not the God of yesterday. He's not the God of the Old Testament. He is the God of now and forevermore. He does not get tired. He does not get weary. He does not slow down. He is none of those things. He is none of those things that we think he is. Sometimes that we maybe make him out to be. Sometimes we have these perceptions of how we believe God really is, how he really chooses to do things. But most of the time, and you can find it throughout all of Isaiah, where Isaiah is like, I'm sorry, but you don't really understand how God works. Sometimes he wants us to do the opposite of what we think he wants us to do. And sometimes we have to be willing to be able to do those things. So this leads me into my last part here, to my first point, and it's that God is not small. And Isaiah chapter 40 really shows that God is not small. He's not small in any way, right? But yet he is always there. God's never been small for me. He's never just done small things. God cares about the small things, but he cares about the big things too. He cares about the small things so much that sometimes we forget how big he really is. And we're going to continue on in Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 21. Down to verse 24, it says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Now that's pretty powerful. That's a powerful God that we have, that we serve. A powerful God that loves us, that cares for us beyond anything that we can ever truly imagine or understand. So one thing that I know how great our God is one, being able to visit here. You guys have a wonderful mountain view here, and Pastor Craig took us there. And it was so beautiful being able to go up there after the snow had just fell yesterday. Being able to see the city from Casper Mountain was incredible. And in the state of Michigan, we have one of the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan. And I've seen some fantastic, some beautiful sunsets over the lake. And yet I get to see them all the time, right? And you guys get to see the beautiful mountains that are here. God cares so much about this earth, right, that he would make these beautiful views, that he would continue to give us these beautiful sunsets to be able to see. And it is just recognition that God is there, that God is there in it all, right? That even though Isaiah can seem kind of scary, right, that he can just blow on them and things wither. All he has to do is blow and things die. But that's not our God. That's not what he does for us. He doesn't blow on us and we die. He blows on us and he gives us life. Right, he blows into our life, he blows into our family, and he does all these great things, and all he does is has to touch us. All he has to do is just speak a word, and he's there. And that's what I love about so much about our God, of how great he really is. And when I was in Master's Commission, I memorized all of Isaiah chapter 40. We had to memorize scripture every year. My first year, we had to memorize 400 scriptures of our choosing of what we had to do. We couldn't cheat and just memorize, like, Jesus wept. That is just one scripture in your Bible. I don't know who chose that, but thank you. So I just remember about five verses around that, and you get to have Jesus wept as the scripture verse to memorize. But I memorized Isaiah chapter 40, and I chose to do it, even though they've got some long verses in there, but because it reminded me of how big my God is. So even though when I didn't always have the money to be able to always buy food, even though I didn't know if I was going to have enough gas to be able to get to where I needed to get to every single day, I knew God was going to be there. I knew that he was going to provide, because if he provides for this earth in the way he has and the things that he's shown and for how big he is, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he provide for you? Why wouldn't he take care of your fears that you have? Why wouldn't he take care of the worry that you have? The worry for your kids, the worry for your grandparents, the worry for your friends, your family, for those who are around you. Why would he not take care of them? Why would he not take care of you in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your pain, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether no matter how, what's going on, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? We're going to continue on here in Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 25, and we're going to read 26. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens who created all these. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them forth, each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Right? There is nothing that we can compare God to. I want to be honest, you can't even compare the devil to God. He thought he could compare himself to God, and you see where that got him, right? He practically has nothing. If you think he has a lot now, he had a whole lot more when he used to serve the King of Kings, and he doesn't anymore. And yet, we have the opportunity to be able to serve the King of Kings, and he gives us so much. He gives us his Holy Spirit, who speaks to us, can speak to us on a daily basis, no matter what's going on. And this leads me to my point number two, and it's God has big plans for you, right? Whether you're a teenager, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, whether you're a grandparent, wherever you're at in life, God still has a plan for your life. He still has a plan to be able to use you to do mighty and great things. And sometimes all we have to be able to do is just listen and believe. So I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony, where I came from, right? So I grew up in a house, somewhat of a crazy separated house, okay? I'm one of four kids. My oldest brother, he is 6 years older than me. My sister, my older sister, she's 4 years older than me. And then I have a younger sister who's 2 years younger than me. And my older two siblings, they had a different dad, okay, from my mom's first marriage. And then the second marriage came me and my younger sister. And then after that, we had our stepdad. They also then got separated. It was a tough time. It was a tough time. My brother was someone who was very angry all the time. He went through a lot of different things, a lot of hurts, a lot of pain, right? And so he would pick on me a lot, do different things. And I get that brothers pick on each other, right? Especially older ones. Okay, it happens. Right? But he would do it unnecessarily. He would do it unnecessarily. Sometimes we had to share a room. We lived in a mobile home that had three bedrooms. So my sister shared a room, and me and my older brother shared a room. But through all of this, my dad, what had happened is that he had molested my older sister when I was probably about 6 years old. He went to prison for 4 years. My brother was the one who caught him and ended up calling my mom in the middle of it happening. She came home from work and found him. And so then from there, he went to jail. And I was told as a kid that my dad was going away for work for the next year. That's what me and my younger sister were told. About a year later, once I asked where my dad was, I was finally told the truth of what happened at about 7 years of age. My stepdad then later came to the picture not much later than that, probably about 6 months later. He was pretty much an atheist. He didn't believe in God. He didn't see how there could be. He believed in the Big Bang Theory and how everything happened. And growing up was tough. Growing up had many trials, had many different things. My brother didn't like my stepdad. They would fight. They would argue, right? My brother would argue with my mom. One time hit my mom, right? My stepdad took him down. My stepdad is about 6'2", used to weigh about 300 pounds, fresh out of kickboxing school. My brother didn't stand a chance, okay? But we grew up poor. We didn't have a whole lot. One of my main memories of growing up, recognizing that we were poor, was it was me and my younger sister in the back seat. Okay, we're in the back seat of the car. My mom's driving, and it's late. It's dark out. It's past dinner time. We hadn't eaten. And my sister, she asks, can we get McDonald's? We can see the big golden arches up ahead as we're driving. And my mom says no. And my sister begins to throw a fit. Okay? All right. Sisters get to throw a fit. But with that, my mom decided to go ahead and stop. So she stopped. She pulled into McDonald's. She got us both a Happy Meal. And I noticed that she didn't order anything for herself. And I knew she hadn't eaten. And so I asked her, aren't you hungry? And she said no. And after she handed us our food and she handed them the money and everything, the exchange happened and we began to drove away, I began to hear my mom cry. And I recognized that was the last money she had. And we didn't have any other money. And she gave it so that we could be happy for a moment, so that we could eat even though we had food at home with the little that we had. I recognized at a young age that sometimes you have to be willing to sacrifice things that you always want because sometimes you don't always have it. You don't always have the ability to be able to do it. And it was tough growing up. We didn't always have everything that everybody else had. We didn't have a whole lot of things. And when I was in middle school, well, even before that, when I was in fourth grade, I got a job. I got a paper route, and I used to work. I earned about $20 every 2 weeks delivering papers to the trailer park that I lived at, delivering about 180, 200 papers once a week. It was called the Trade Lines. Every now and then, I would have to, over the summertime, I would spend that money because me and my younger sister didn't know how to cook, so I would ride my bike. As a middle schooler, I'd ride it up to the store about a mile away, and I would buy us food so that way we could have cereal or something to be able to eat, and I'd ride my bike back down while my parents were at work. It was a troubling time, and my brother picked on me so much that I didn't like living. Even as a middle schooler, I had contemplated taking my own life because life was so hard. I didn't have a lot of friends. I got picked on at the bus stop all the time. My brother didn't want to defend me. He didn't want to be there for me during that time. Nor did my older sister, really. They didn't care to be able to walk me because I got picked on. They said I should be able to solve it for myself. That was life. That was life growing up, and it wasn't easy, and it wasn't fun, right? But one thing that I used to do during all the fights, during all the arguments, during everything that would happen as a middle schooler, fifth, fourth grade, I would ask, can I go ride my bike? After the fighting stopped and everyone left and went to their own rooms, I would go and I'd ride my bike. And where we lived in this trailer park, the river kind of wrapped around us a little bit. We kind of lived on half an island almost, kind of like a peninsula. And during that time, I would ride my bike. I would say I was just going for a ride, and I would go to the back end of the trailer park where the river came around, and I would stop, and I would sit there, and I'd lean my bike up against the tree, and I would just be there for a moment, and I would just watch the river go by as it calmly went by, as the rapids kind of little went as they did, as the ducks and the geese during the summer would quack and quail and go about their business. And I would just sit there in the peace and the calmness of it. We even called it the rocks because they used, at the bank there, they used to throw all of the cement pieces that used to be from the road that was there from before. They just threw it right on the side of the bank and into the river. And so that's where we would even go fishing. People would fish there. But I would go there, and in the midst of being there, I would find peace. In the midst of contemplating, of taking my own life and everything that would happen, I would find peace there. I would let go of everything that was happening and everything that was going on inside of my family, no matter what it was, everything that would happen at school. I just let it go. And I found peace. Later on, while I was in master's commission, after I had gotten saved, I got saved when I was a freshman, started going to a youth group thanks to some friends who took me there. Right, decided to go to master's commission. God had called me to youth ministry. And during that time, I was praying. We used to pray every morning, okay, for about an hour or so, half an hour. One day while I was praying, I began to have these flashbacks, these moments of being there, being at the river. And I heard God speak to me. And he told me that during those times while you were there, Zach, I was the one comforting you. I was the one giving you peace in the midst of all those struggles. Even though I didn't know him, even though I didn't, we said we were Christians, we didn't grow up Christian, okay? He was there. In the midst of everything, he had a plan for my life, and he wasn't going to let me do something that would have been crazy, that would have doomed me. But because I took a moment to try and find peace, he was there. He comforted me in the midst of some of our hardest times of my life. He was there. And I broke down crying in the middle of praying because I realized that that was him. And now I know what peace, that's what true peace was. That's what comfort was. And it made me so much happier knowing that he was the one who did it. That I didn't do it on my own accord. There was nothing because of what I had done. All I did was attempt to find something, attempt to be able to get away from it. And sometimes that's all we have to be able to do. Sometimes that's just all we need, is just a little bit of peace, is just a little bit of comfort, right? A little bit of knowing that when God was there when you were young, that God was there for you yesterday when something happened. My mom used to get into a lot of car accidents. She's been in about 6 or 7 car accidents in her life, mostly since I had been born. And almost every single time, at about 3 of them, I had asked if I could go with her because she was the only one going. She was just running a couple quick errands. Other people were home, you know. And she stopped for a moment and thought about it, and she decided to say no. And I remember each specific time out of the 3 times that she decided to say no. And each time, she got into a car accident. And if I would have been in the passenger seat, I can't guarantee that I'd still be alive if she hadn't chose to say no. all because she chose to just think for a moment and chose to say no. I don't know what prompted her to say no, don't know what it was, but I do believe that it was God who told her to say no. I believe it was him there speaking into my family, even into our struggles, to be able to help provide for us. I remember different people from our church, half the reason why I choose to be saved, even though most of my siblings to this day aren't, they'll say they're Christians, they believe that they're saved, but I promise you that, I'm sorry, but they don't live it. Right? I chose to be able to stick with it even when my younger sister didn't. My sister has had a hard time being able to forgive my dad for what he did. She won't even look at him if they even cross paths. Won't acknowledge him, nothing. And I understand that. That's hard. But she can't forgive him. And sometimes we have to really be able to do that. So God is there in the midst of so many different things. He is in the midst of it all. And so my last third point here for you is do not hold back from God. God didn't hold back from us from giving us his son on the cross. Then why should we hold back from him? In the midst of everything, when all else is beginning to fail, Jesus Christ is there, right? Because he gave us the ultimate sacrifice. And so for us to be able to sacrifice something so small, whether it be a moment, whether it be a meal, to be able to provide for someone else, why would he not then provide for you? If he provided to be able to save you from sin, save you from the persecution of what sin causes, which is death, why would he not choose to continue to provide for you physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, whatever it might be? Why would he not? We're just going to finish up here in Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 28 through 31. And it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint." To those of you who know God, right? Sometimes maybe for those of us who know God, for those of us who maybe don't, Isaiah can sometimes seem pretty scary. The whole of Isaiah, right? He calls us grasshoppers. We're so small. Yet God is so big, but yet he cares so much. Yet he loves so much, so unconditionally, something that is so hard to be able to understand, especially for some people, especially if you come from a hard life like I did. If you come from a separated family, it's hard to be able to understand how God can be such a good father, how he can provide so much when in the midst you didn't always have that. And sometimes that can be hard, but sometimes we just have to realize that he's nothing like us. And that's why we strive to be like him. God is bigger than our fear. God is bigger than anything that we can imagine, anything that scares us. And I'm not just talking about spiders and snakes and the things, you know, that maybe make you jump when all these things happen. But he's bigger than some of the struggles and things that you go through. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, whether you're a grandparent, no matter what it is, God's bigger than it. And Pastor Josh, if you would come with your team, what I want to do this morning is I want to give you a chance. I want to give you a moment. I believe some of you here in this, when I was doing this message, that God told me that there's a few people in this room who you are so close to being able to have that moment of comfort, so close to being able to have that moment of peace. You're so close to it. You have been wanting it. You have been crying out for it. You have been worshiping for it. You have been praying for it. And I believe you are so very close to being able to have that moment where you know that God is there. Not where he completely is able to solve your issue, but where he's able to take care of your anxiety. He's able to take care of your worry and your doubt that you might be having. And so this morning, we're going to take a moment, and they're just going to play for us one song. And I want you to forget about who's next to you. I want to forget you to forget about your kid, not completely, but just take a moment, right? And don't worry about what plans you have tonight, what plans you have after this, where you're going to eat at, and everything that's going on. I want you to just be able to take a moment and let God speak. And let God just breathe on you this morning as he whispered, just like he whispered to Isaiah or Elijah. He whispered to him in the midst of a storm, in the midst of fire and all these things. All he did was whisper. Just whisper. And it completely changed Elijah's life. He was a man who thought about contemplating. He didn't want to live anymore. He didn't want to do anything more. He was so tired. He couldn't do it anymore. And God just spoke in a whisper. And it changed his entire life. Changed his entire ministry and everything that he did. And sometimes that's all we need in life. All we need is to be able to find that moment of peace, that moment where the God of the universe, the creator of all, is just focused on you. And trust me, he can focus on each and every single one of you all at the same time. Don't worry about what your son needs, your daughter needs, your mom needs, your brother needs. Focus on you.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.